7, a special episode where we just talk Disney and Marvel and Star Wars, because this week was like all the Disney news. So much of it that we need to have an entire podcast just about this. I hope you like that. I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
All right, so we decided we're going to start with Ralph Breaks the Internet, which released a new trailer, I believe. But the big thing is that they got all kinds of crap for having reanimated Tatiana?
Or Tiana.
So it was a couple, they didn't release a new trailer, they released something a while ago, but they got crap when they released that trailer for not in whitewashing Tatiana.
Now we're all going to do it.
Not whitewashing Tiana, but like making her less, like lighting, her skin was lighter and her hair wasn't as curly and like some other things too. And so, like,
as I understand it, there was originally images from the movie where she looked like Tiana from the original animation, and then there was new images of her where it looked like they changed her.
Yeah, because there were two trailers, so it was like trailer one versus trailer two.
Oh.
So at some point, they literally went in and changed her features, and then they got shit for it, they got crap for it, and now they're like, okay, never mind, we're fixing it back.
They fixed it back, because it's possible, like, I don't remember if it was different from one trailer to the other, or they got crap in the one trailer, and the reason why there's two pictures is because Disney's released, like, a screenshot of, like,
I think as I understood it, there was originally an image of her, and she looked like she should look.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, there was an image of her, and it was like, what happened?
Right.
So, because I don't think they've released any images since announcing that they were reanimating her to correct their mistake, or whatever you want to call it. So, it's interesting, though, because they did get, you know, they actually talked to, I think, the voice of Tiana, and then there's a group, you know, that's about representation and accurate representation, who apparently met with them. So they've come out and said, yes, they're fixing it, and they listened to it. They heard what we were saying and realized that what they did was not okay. But it's just weird, because it's like, okay, well, it sounds like you originally had her. That why did you change her?
Yeah.
And that now you have to change her back.
Yeah. And, like, when they were doing Princess and the Frog, they had, I don't know about character design, but they had just, like, similar, like, problematic things. And it's like, Disney, why is this so hard for you? That just tells me that you don't have enough, like, black creators.
Right.
Yeah.
At Disney.
Clearly they need to be diversifying a bit. I mean, because Disney has historically been, that's, like, one of their problems, Disney Animation. Is that almost everybody was a white dude.
Yep.
Who worked there.
I mean, that's the thing, too.
Of the company are white dudes.
Yeah, when you have, like, diversity in your storytelling, if the people that are telling the stories do not come from those backgrounds, then you're going to wind up with situations like this.
Yeah. At the very least, they need to be having consultants that they talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I guess at this point, you know, they did talk to this other group. I can't remember what their names are.
Color of Change.
There you go. Color of Change. And then, but like, I like that they talked to the actress who does her voice as well. Because presumably she is black. Otherwise we would have...
Yes,
Anika Nani
Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, at least they made the change. Although, wow, it just goes to show, either they already had it, and that's the point. Like, they didn't just have the one shot that they released it previously. They really had it completely animated, and then they went in and redid it. Or it doesn't obviously take them that long, because they are changing it. I mean, I don't know how much she's in the movie anyway. It can't be very much. I'm kind of getting that it's only, like, one, like, long scene.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just, like, a cameo for them, right?
Yeah. But still, I don't know. It seems like a lot of work to go through, and it's like, why didn't you just... talk to people first.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like Disney, this would not be that hard for you, and it's such bad press for you. Like, do your homework. You should know better.
Yeah, by now.
Yeah.
Anyway. I still have never seen the first one, so I want to see this one, but it's obviously not a priority.
Yeah. Although the first one was cute, but forgettable for me.
Yeah.
I have friends who absolutely adore it. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, it just didn't really matter to me. So I never really saw it. Oh, well. Anyway, moving on. The interesting thing this last week, one of the big stories was that Bob Iger finally did an interview. I think it was with The Hollywood Reporter. I could be wrong on that. Anyway, he finally got back from his vacation, very extensive vacation, and did an interview talking about kind of the future of the company. And one of the things he did was he took credit for how fast they were moving with Star Wars and how, you know, they originally, when Episode 7 came out, they wanted more time, and he was trying to force them to put something out earlier. So that was why the movie, because before that, all Star Wars movies had always come out in May.
Right.
That's why the movie came out in December instead, because he had promised shareholders that there would be some kind of Star Wars profit for the end of that year.
Oh.
So they were able to meet it by giving them 5 or 6 extra months, but still.
I see.
But he takes credit for the fact that there was, what, 5 months, not even, between The Last Jedi and Solo.
Is that credit you want to take?
I mean, at least he's not passing the buck on to Kathleen Kennedy.
He takes responsibility, maybe.
Responsibility is the word I should
be saying. Oh, okay.
He's taking responsibility for that and for that the failure because of that.
Right.
And he said that, so they will be slowing down.
That's good.
What that means for the movies is hard to tell. Because, I mean, he mentioned in the interview, he didn't mention Rian Johnson's trilogy.
Oh.
What he said was, he talked about the Benioff and Weiss story and other creators.
Mm-hmm.
But which I thought was interesting because I'm like, that's the one you focused on instead of Rian Johnson, who's already done a movie for you.
Right. That
and
is.
It was announced first.
Hmm.
Which does make you wonder. It's like, are they rethinking it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely.
It could just be that, like, Game of Thrones is hotter right now. Like, I mean, Star Wars, but, like, you know, there was the backlash with Rian Johnson, whereas everyone loves Game of Thrones, so it's like the darlings.
Right. At the very least, he's on the back burner right now, or his trilogy's on the back burner.
Yeah, because he also didn't mention Favreau's series for the streaming service, which I thought was interesting. Because, like, at least he just said that they're still trying to, like, see what the future of the story is after Episode 9. Which is interesting, because it's like, the way he put it to me made it sound like he expects there to be a story continuing in that same vein. So basically the Skywalker saga. Whereas everybody's hoping that after this it's going to be over. And then he mentioned the other stories. That's when he mentioned Benioff and Weiss as a, like, outside of it. So he seems to still think there will be something going in that, in the story we already know.
Yeah.
At least that's what I took from it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I do like that he at least did take the responsibility. And just, you know, I mean, everybody kind of assumes that he's going to. Well, there's a lot of speculation that Kathleen Kennedy won't be there much longer.
Oh, really?
Who knows? There's also speculation Alan Horn won't be there much longer after everything that happened with James Gunn. Although, Iger also didn't accept responsibility. Because he said, you know, he was gone, so he didn't make that decision, but that he supports it. But it's like, well, you have to. You're stuck with that decision. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, if he had really wanted to change things, I know he was on vacation, but he could have.
Yeah.
Like, him on vacation saying, oh, well, I wasn't here, like, I don't know. That does feel like passing the buck a little
bit.
Because it's not like he was completely unreachable somewhere.
I mean, right, there's like almost nowhere that you could be now where you could just pretend ignorance, right?
I mean, maybe his vacation really was like, you can't reach me unless, like, the sky is falling. or something. Like, maybe that was the vibe. I have a hard time believing that. I have a feeling like he knew and was like, I choose to not have to make these decisions. Which is totally, you know, I respect, like, that's fine. Like, if the boss wants to be on vacation, like, fine. But then, like, that tells me that if he'd wanted to step in, he could have.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that, that is the sky is falling. Because it was that bad for a while. You know, your company, which is all about children's programming, was linked to pedophilia because of this person. That's what we assume is the main thing, the main reason he's gone.
I mean, I will just say, because I was raised in a conservative household, and there was definitely Disney backlashes growing up and everything, and Disney weathered it. Like, my dad, like, boycotted Disney for a while over, like, I don't even know anymore. But, like, similar stuff. I remember reading the Focus on the Family article about it, and I think they were trying to, like, even almost make those kind of insinuations about something. So, like, I mean, you're like, yeah, it was bad, but Disney's been through this with the conservative evangelical base before. Yeah. And they come out the other side of it.
I still think a huge part of it was they have to appease Trump because a dude could fuck up the merger.
It's true.
Yeah. I still think that was a large part of it, but they're just like, there's nothing we can do. If we don't do this, he would have stopped it.
Right.
He still might, because if Disney don't give him something, I don't know. He's that petty. So...
And even if he wasn't petty about Disney, which he is, this administration has been, they've not liked big mergers like this.
Right.
So you have to assume that was a big part of it, but it's still stupid. And
should be stupid, but slowing down Star Wars is not stupid.
No.
Slowing down Star Wars is the smartest thing they could possibly do.
That would be smart no matter what the extenuating circumstances were.
Yeah. I still think the TV series, or the streaming series, I should say, is, like, fine. Especially since it's supposed to be, well, I think it's between Jedi and, well, I should say Return of the Jedi, because now we have two Jedis. And the new trilogy. So I'm still hoping that it's not about any of the characters we know in any way.
In any way? Like, not even, like, someone's third cousin?
Well...
You mean the streaming series?
Yeah.
Is it live action or animated?
Huh?
The streaming series, is it live action or animated?
Live action.
Okay. Because there's also a new animated series. I'm confused. Like, there's so many.
No, there's a live action series that's coming from Jon Favreau for the streaming service. And then there's the animated one, which is what, from... people who did the original Clone Wars series, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Yeah, I'm probably more excited for the animated series than for the live action.
I like Jon Favreau, so I'm going to give him credit, although I still wish he was doing Knights of the Old Republic or something like that. I think that would be far more interesting than basically the fall of the Empire.
Yeah.
It starts to make me wonder, like, how much of this is Lucasfilm somewhere. Like, there are all these interesting, not during the Skywalker saga, stories to be told, and they just stubbornly won't tell them.
Yeah, and Kotor has...
this much ahead. They've got how many? They've got, like, four different showrunners between animated and live action and movies, and all of them seem to be clustering in that same time period. That's a deliberate choice on Lucasfilm's part.
But yeah, that was going to say, like, Kotor has a built-in fan base as it is, so I don't know why they wouldn't at least try one there. Just see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible that's what, like, Benioff and Weiss are doing. We don't know what they're doing.
That's true.
I don't think we've been told that it's not connected to anything that's come before. So and they would be a good choice, I think, for doing that kind of story, but yeah, who knows.
As annoyed as I am that it's more white dudes in charge of Star Wars, at least Star Wars means that there will not be that terrible, like, Civil War AU that they were going to do.
Oh god, that's right. Yeah, I was about to ask, like, has everyone just, like, forgotten that they were going to do that?
I think like, everyone's just hoping
to never speak of it again, I think.
Yeah, I think HBO is hoping we're all going to forget about it. Because I don't think it's happening.
I hope not. I still want to know what they thought the reaction was going to be.
Yeah. The dumb decisions that people in power make. And this is why you need more people, more diversity, more women, and more people of color.
Yep.
In general. Yeah.
Life lesson.
Because, yes, let's learn from this. other thing that came out of that interview with Iger, I mean, there was more, I'm sure, but the big thing that I can think of is that he confirmed what we all basically knew, which was that when Fox is absorbed into the company, Kevin Feige will be in charge of the X-Men and Fantastic Four series, that they won't be just treated as a separate entity.
Woo!
Which basically means everyone at Fox in charge of Marvel is out of a job.
Oh, well, that's not woo. That's sad. But
are they going to reboot the characters? Because, like, if they merge them, they're two Quicksilvers now.
I'm pretty sure the X-Men will be completely rebooted.
Yeah.
The only thing that that is a possibility that they would keep is Deadpool. Because it works to move, you know, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's what you could do. Like, yeah, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah. But I don't think, I think if Dark Phoenix is released, which they are filming pickups now for it, if it's released, which I'm still not positive it's going to be, but if it's released, it will be the final movie.
Yeah.
That whole series. And we will start fresh with brand new characters. And I think the way to integrate them is going, I mean, we're going to have more of the multiverse, so it would make sense that the X-Men are a different universe, but that they find the ability to cross over.
Oh.
Which is the only way you can really do it, because I think we talked about it before, is that you have to, you know, everyone else's story, you can alter
mm-hmm.
the origins of. But Magneto has to be a Holocaust survivor.
Right.
There's just no way you could do it. The only other way to do it would be make him from another genocide, and that's insulting.
Yeah.
Because they're not all created equal. So, to make Magneto, unless they're going to, it's possible to make it part of this universe if they're resetting everything in Avengers 4
mm-hmm.
and introduce, but I doubt it. I'm going to guess that they're just going to introduce the idea of different universes so that eventually they can bring the X-Men over, because then you can keep doing movies with just the X-Men, but have crossovers every once in a while, but they don't, it's not as blatant, awkward feeling of, well, you know, like, why isn't Avengers helping in Iron Man 3?
Yeah. So would that mean that Magneto was part of a Holocaust in a parallel universe?
I would guess so.
Okay.
Because I'm if Cap doesn't die,
fingers crossed.
Matt's theory is that he's going to end up in a parallel universe living with Peggy.
Oh.
That he actually gets his happy ending. He gets to go back.
Okay.
But it's not this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a different world. And so, yeah, I mean, you have multiple parallel universes would be created all constantly for every decision we made. So, yes, there would still be plenty of universes where the Holocaust still happens.
Right. Okay. Well,
and you could make it almost identical.
So then he'd still have to be like stick around to like meet the X-Men or something, right? As an introduction to the X-Men. I mean, he doesn't
they don't have the crossover.
Yeah.
Necessarily. It could be a universe where Hydra never existed, but the Holocaust still happened.
Right.
Like our universe. But you know. Yeah, there's different ways you can do it. I don't know. But that would be the way to do it, I think. That would be the best way, because you don't have to... It's weird enough going back with Captain Marvel and saying, oh, she existed, but nobody knew about her.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that again with all the mutants, that makes them... Then it's going to get silly if you keep doing that.
Yeah.
So that's the way to do it is, no, they were actually in a parallel universe. They've existed, just not in our universe. And then they have doors now that they can... crossover.
Yeah, I mean, they already had to send Captain Marvel out of the planet in order to justify why she wasn't around, so I guess they wouldn't do that again with an entire race of X-Men.
Plus the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
My dad's gonna be so mad. He's already, like, he cannot keep track of all the different universes on the Arrowverse. He complains about it.
All three of them? It's too much?
It is too much. He complains.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame him. It is really scary. But, yeah. I think we're going to get a lot. Which is why it's hard because it's like that is a way to do the multiple universes thing without completely resetting our timeline, because it's like it's going to be hard enough because there's probably going to be a reset. In fact, I have a whole new theory of how, well, not a whole new theory, but worked a spoiler about Avengers 4 into my theory of what's going to happen to Avengers
4. Oh.
Yeah, I guess I can talk about it now.
Do it.
So spoilers for Avengers 4 now.
Mm.
So you guys heard that Gwyneth Paltrow did an interview, right, where she talked about that Tony and Pepper have a kid now.
Oh no, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, she did an interview where she said something about, and now they have a kid.
Ah!
And it was like, wait, what?
Edwin is so happy.
I'm so happy. I knew it. I knew it because of his dream, but I'm still so happy.
Wait a minute. Don't get too excited.
Oh, God.
Because my theory is, because that to me fits in with the casting spoiler about the fact that Cassie Lang has been cast as a teenager for Avengers 4.
Okay.
So my theory has been that the Avengers 4 starts like 5 years later.
Yeah.
That they've lived in this world for all this time. And so what I was thinking, so we know that there's time travel.
Yes.
We don't know to what extent, but from what little we've seen, it looks like Iron Man and Ant-Man are traveling back in time.
Yes.
To places where the Infinity Stones have been on Earth, trying to change things, I would assume.
Okay.
So my theory that fits in Gwyneth Paltrow's spoiler is that in the future, they really do have a kid.
Uh-huh.
But that as part of the sacrifice that I think Tony's going to have to make to change things, it's going to be sacrificing that child. That he changes so much that the child never exists.
Why would you? Why? Why isn't she already pregnant? And then he died, she thinks, and now they have a child.
I don't know that I think she was pregnant at that time. I mean,
because you hate me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's possible, but it also depends on when we think the moment is that he's going to change. If he's going back to all of these times,
right.
When does the story change?
Right.
And what is it that he changes? It could just be that it changes exactly when Thanos, like, snaps. That Captain Marvel is there to stop him. And he's never able to do it.
Right.
And so if you decide that Pepper was pregnant already, well, then maybe it just goes forward. So maybe his sacrifice is he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he and Steve are both going to die.
Yes.
So maybe the kid is still there, but he never gets to know it.
I feel like they can't both die, you know what I mean? Or they can't both not exist. Like, either Tony dies, or the kid is sacrificed and Tony doesn't die.
Yeah.
Or they both live, but most likely he will die. Most likely Tony dies.
I mean, because it could be, you know, as simple as he changes something so he doesn't die and she still has a child, but whatever it is he changes, it's the, he had a son, but now that son doesn't exist, now he has a daughter. Because that's a classic movie trope. They like to do that one.
And also, the Arrowverse did it too, so why not?
Yeah. There's lots of tried travel movies.
It's kind of like the opposite of how they did it with the, I forget the name, but in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
With Max.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the inverse of that. Yeah, but then he had to give her up anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just a theory, because that would be they've said it's going to be really, really terrible. So I'm preparing myself for the worst possible things you imagine they're going to do to us and these four characters.
Yeah.
I think Steve's going to die. Matt's the one who thinks he's going to end up in a parallel universe.
Well, that's a very positive thought.
I know, I'm like, well, that's a nice thing, because he doesn't think they want to kill. And I'm like, well, I understand that, but at the same time, they have to kill people.
There's got to be some stakes, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the, you know, I always bring back to, like, this time at our Farscape Museum of War Wars, when there's a character who dies in that, and Rafioso Bannon said, you know, it's not real unless there's a cost. Like, you can't just keep saying everybody skates through. Because in reality, that wouldn't happen.
Right.
And I feel like Marvel is going to be more willing to kill off some of the original proven characters now, in like a post-Black Panther world, where they know that they're fine going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got plenty. So yeah, I mean, and I think it's going to be, like, I still like my Skrull theory for Cap, but I don't think it's going to happen. Not really. I really like it.
It is a good theory.
Kind of going back to X-Men, I wonder, like, how immediately they'll cross the X-Men over. Like, I wonder if they might do, kind of sort of going back to, like, the CW DC stuff, like a Black Lightning thing, where, like, it's part of DC TV, but it's not. Like, I wonder if they're just going to try to immediately cross it over, or they won't. Like, not necessarily shut the door on it, but just not necessarily address it immediately.
I mean, they've already said that they have, like, the next 20 years plan. They don't I mean, there's a lot they can do with the X-Men, but they don't really need the X-Men. But if they get them, they're going to use them. I just expect I think it depends on if Dark Phoenix gets released or not. If not, I would say it sooner. If that movie gets released, I'm going to say they're going to wait a few years.
Does it ever weird you out that after, like, now that these, you know, basically Disney, because it's Disney behind all the big franchises anyway, have these decade-long plans, like, they will keep making movies that we will never see?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, we'll never see a Marvel movie. Like, there's no franchise that's been like that before, that's ever existed. Like, but will it go on post-Feige? That's the question, I guess. Will it continue to be so well, or will it? We don't know.
Well, I'm sure it'll go on, but it's probably gonna, some kind of loss of quality will occur, unless they get the absolute right person who's already been working underneath him.
Yeah. He seems to be pretty good at, like, cultivating talent, and he doesn't seem to be, like, selfishly guarding anything. Like, he understands his role in the bigger picture, which I think is nice. He's not like Perlmutter, who needs to micromanage everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the problem that Marvel Television have, but he's obviously micromanaging the shit out of this stuff. And I mean, that's why Feige had to break away from him in the first place. You know, they've talked pretty extensively about the fact that they have general ideas, but most of the directors and writers who come on are surprised at how much leeway they're given. And I mean, and that's the thing with Avengers 4, that we didn't really, they're doing, you know, pickup shots right now, but was it Ruffalo was the one who revealed that they never, it's not completely done, that they're changing things, which, based on, because, you know, they didn't know exactly how Captain Marvel was going to play out, they didn't know, well, now they probably have to change some stuff to help fix the Guardians problem.
That's right.
I wonder if
that's an argument for slowing down the Marvel series a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So that they...
I don't know, it seems to be working for them, though.
Well, no, just but that, like, okay, so they have to go change things the last minute because then when they first started working on it, they didn't have a completed Captain Marvel script. Like, maybe...
Well, but they obviously planned it this way. Most movies would not be filmed as far in advance, like they did with Avengers 4. You know, in a normal world, they'd only be filming Avengers 4 now, anyway. So, you know, it's kind of different. They just wanted to do as much as they could, but they obviously knew they were going to have to do some changes. Because, yeah, Captain Marvel only finished filming a couple months ago. Spider-Man comes out 2 months after Avengers 4, and it's filming now. So obviously, the movie should have been filmed now. They just, you know, it made it easier on them in some ways just to do it further in advance. I don't know. But one of the things I actually saw somebody talking about was they wonder if, so the big announcement last week was that, well, no, it was like a couple days ago, was that Chloe Zhao, is it Zhao or Zhao?
I think it's Zhao.
No.
I think it's Zhao. Think it's Zhao. Yeah.
Is going to be directing the Eternals movie, which the rumor on that one was that they were going to introduce that idea and that story in Guardians, but now people are speculating that they're actually going to have to do it in Avengers 4 because nobody knows if Guardians 3 is actually going to get made.
I feel like it is not getting made, and that makes me sad because I wanted the end of that story. But, yeah.
I think that's actually the main reason that they're doing a lot of filming changes. I don't think it's actually as much Captain Marvel, but they're having to change some things because there will not be a Guardians 3. Or they don't know when it's going to happen if it does. And that, you couldn't have predicted. Unfortunately. But, yay for more female directors. And a woman of color. Not, you know. She's the third female director for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's the woman who's doing the Black Widow movie.
That's right.
One of the co-directors.
I forgot that's a thing that's happening.
The way it really is happening.
Yeah.
Yes, Black Widow is definitely, well, they have a writer, they have a director. So
it's happening more than most DC movies are happening.
We don't know when it's happening, you know. We don't know when anything's happening now beyond Spider-Man, Far From Home, because they're filming it. So, who knows? But, moving on, I think the next thing to talk about would actually be, before we get to Captain Marvel, because we're going to gush about that in a minute, is the fact that it was leaked that there will be Loki and Scarlet Witch shows on the streaming service.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
I mean,
I'm not surprised that Loki's coming back. Although some people were like, well, no, he's probably going to, it's going to be a prequel because there's a lot of time story. And I'm like, no, Loki's not dead.
Yeah.
I feel like Loki should be dead.
It could have the adventures of Loki throughout time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're probably right that he's not dead, but I feel like he should be dead. And there's nothing about, there's nothing about either a Scarlet Witch or a Loki show that really intrigues me if they're based on the characters, you know, so far in the movies. I'm like,
Yeah, I mean, they've been confirmed to be starring both Tom Hiddleston and Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, well then, yeah.
And they will not be part of Marvel Television. They will be Marvel Studios under Kevin Feige.
Huh.
So they will officially be, Marvel wouldn't comment. So
okay.
It's not confirmed. But it's coming from Variety. They know what they're talking about. So it's happening. And I can see it. They're going to be 6 to 8 episodes. And they've said there are others in the works, but they didn't know exactly who. I mean, the obvious guess would be Hawkeye, because Jeremy Renner has been wanting a Hawkeye television show since the Netflix series started. So I'm assuming he's getting one. Hawkeye television show. But I would watch it. I'm sure it's going to be better than Iron Fist. Which, I watched the first 2 episodes of Iron Fist Season 2 and I was like, I'm out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Matt watched the rest of it without me. I can't. It's just...
So he made it through.
He did, and then he bitched at me because he was like, you're never going to watch it, right? And I said, no. He's like, and then he ranted. So, he said that there's, like, almost a saving grace at the end of something interesting, and then 2 minutes later, they destroy it. So, yeah. He doesn't think there will ever be another Iron Fist.
That sucks. I mean, not that it sucks. I mean, it does not suck that there won't be another one. But
that Connie gets to hop on a different series.
Huh?
If Connie hops on a different series, then Iron Fist can go away. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming that there will be a Dodge of the Dragon and maybe Heroes for Hire. but not an individual Iron Fist series. Right. And Defenders is definitely not happening.
Thankfully.
Because Netflix went to... I mean, they already said that they didn't have any plans for it, but they actually went to the step of changing the Defenders Facebook page to a different Netflix-related Facebook.
Wow.
Definitely be looking back.
Garbage.
They've made it like a... It's for their new section where it's all about science fiction and it's like genre programming. So they just switched it over. They were like, well, these fans will care. So instead of creating a new page, which is...
That's kind of hilarious. Yeah.
I doubt I'll ever watch the rest of Iron Fist.
Who want to see? I want a Valkyrie series with her on whatever that planet was. I want her and Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, right, because they have like a dynamic. They've already got a built-in relationship. Yes.
They had that time. I want like either a prequel of what they were doing before Thor showed up or after. I don't care. That's what I want.
I want Buddy Hulk Valkyrie because they were great together and they were obviously really good friends.
Oh, but the three of them, because Hulk was there for a while too. So all three of them, Buddy series. That's what we want.
There you go. That would be a good one. Give us back Agent Carter. It's not going to happen, but I want it. Now, I don't know what else. I can't even imagine what else you would do. Hey, let's do a Korg series, because Korg was great.
Korg, there you go. He deserves one.
I would watch a Nora Milaje series. I would watch a Shuri series.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch what Nakia was up to, freeing women
there from slavery. There you go.
So basically all the Black Panther women spinoff series.
Randomly, I was at Joann's the other day, and they have a bunch of Black Panther fabric, which I was like, this is great. But they have, like, faces on it, and they have Black Panther, and then they have Nakia and Okoye, and they don't have Shuri on them. I was like, wait, what? Where is... One of them had Killmonger, like, the mask that he steals from the thing, but that's it. I was like, where is Shuri?
It's lame.
I didn't buy any because I was like...
Yeah, why wouldn't you have a Shuri one? That don't make no sense.
I know.
Maybe it was sold out.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was just too popular.
I choose to believe that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I will watch pretty much anything. Although, you know, I never watched... I gave a shot by watching, like, the first 20 minutes. And then I was like, ah. And I watched...
It was more than any humans deserved.
Yeah, I watched the entire first season of Iron Fist, and then I gave the second season 2 episodes before I failed. So, and I've watched everything else that Marvel Studios and Marvel Television have done. So I will give them a shot.
What about, so there's another series that they're talking, oh, so they responded to everybody wanting the female superhero movie by making it a TV show?
Yes. The writer of the Wonder Woman film.
Okay.
Is creating a all-female television show for ABC Studios. And it sounds like it's going to be on ABC.
New characters?
We don't know, but I'm assuming so. I'm going to bet that they incorporate, like, Squirrel Girl, because she was supposed to be on that that series for Freeform that they decided not to pick up.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And apparently she was great. So... I'm guessing, and she's an interesting character, and I can't imagine Kevin Feige using her, to be honest. I'm going to guess that it's going to have her, but beyond that, who knows? I can't imagine that they're going to include Ms. Marvel, because I bet Feige wants her eventually.
So I like this, but it does not replace a female-led MCU film.
That's, yeah.
Well, I mean, no, I... It's under Marvel Television, so it's completely separate anyway. So, Feige is still going to try and do his own thing. It doesn't even sound like half the time he knows what the television is. So, I would guess he's still talking about that. He did say, in an interview with Green Rant, when asked about more female characters,
yeah,
he said that they have a lot of more plans for mm-hmm. female characters in the future. To the extent that in future, more than half of the characters might be women.
Oh, wow. Okay. That would be good.
Yeah, he actually, like, that was, it said more than half. That was his actual line. So
I'll get cookies when I see it.
Yeah.
It took them too long. Still don't get cookies yet.
Yeah. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. Took all of it a while.
Three movies a year is a lot, but they're obviously one of them next year is going to be another Spider-Man movie. I would assume the year after that we're getting Black Panther. I'm sure that's on, like, rush. Whether people want it or not, I didn't mind the first one, but I'm sure Doctor Strange is getting another movie at some point because he's going to be so integral to the forward, especially if they do the multiverse stuff. But then, yeah, and then, you know, who knows what else. Speaking of Valkyrie, though, another Avengers spoiler, it looks like she's on set for Avengers 4.
I did hear that, and that's very exciting.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I hope that means we're going to find out what happened to the rest of the Asgardians.
Korg.
Korg.
Where is Taika? So, hopefully she is in the movie. I have a feeling, like, almost everyone's going to be in Avengers 4. Because, especially if they really are time traveling that extensively.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, because a lot of the actors were seen on set, but it's not clear if they were just there, you know, for that big photo shoot they did, or if they were actually filming. I don't think they were all there at the same time, so it looks like they may have been filming.
Mm.
And it's almost everybody. I think the only person I haven't heard of being there was Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Well, yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's not in it. We just may not know he was.
That would be quite a surprise if he was in it.
Yeah. I mean, the reason we know that it looks like Tessa Thompson was there filming is because Chris Hemsworth was tweeting about them flying from the Men in Black set to Atlanta for Avengers 4. So it's like, wait, why else would she go to Atlanta?
Right.
I mean, they could be talking about other movies, I guess, but it's like, she's probably filming something.
It makes the most sense.
I just want a post-credit scene to be Korg, maybe.
As long as we get some Korg somewhere.
And I feel like now we get to end on the beauty that is the Captain Marvel trailer.
Yes!
It was just...
Yeah, I know, we're just on
her! Hero!
It was so good. You know what's funny? That, like, audio track, somebody apparently identified it. It's, like, some electronic dude who, like, released it last year. And it's exact, like, they didn't change anything.
Oh, really?
You can find it, yeah, somebody, like, bookmarked it on YouTube, and you can find it, and it's just, like, it's perfectly timed. So they basically chimed the trailer to this track. Because I was wondering where that music came from. It's really, it's great. And
mm-hmm.
It's perfect. Like, even the kind of alarm sound is in the track.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, I hope they compensated that guy.
Oh, I'm sure he made lots of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt and I just watched it, like, 6 times in a row and just were in awe. Because it looks so good. I was so afraid, and it just looks amazing. And still trying to figure out what the hell the story, like, what order it all happens in.
It seems like her life on Earth, the first one, that had to be the first one, that she doesn't have any memories of.
Yeah. Like, something happened, and she got her powers. And then she lost her memories, I guess, maybe and she was taken away after she had her powers, and then she lost her memories. But something's happening, and she's getting them back. So she comes back to Earth. And that's where I'm like, okay, so it's still obviously the late 90s when she comes back to Earth. So how long has she been gone? Is the whole movie, like, flashing back from the late 90s to the early 90s?
Yeah.
She hasn't been gone that long. I mean, for her, it could feel like a lifetime if she doesn't have any memory of before, you know, the Kree, so.
Right, because she's, like, discovering her own past, too.
Yes. Hmm. But I think the most interesting revelation, really, was the fact that it doesn't look like Jude Law's playing Mar-Vell, after all.
That's right.
Which apparently people were speculating this after the pictures came out, but I missed it at the time. That they're actually saying he might be playing another character whose name I forget right now, but he's her mentor. Like, because she's supposed to get her powers from Marvel.
Uh huh.
So the part where she gets blasted and in the crater, it looks like that might be when Marvel dies and she gets her powers. And so Marvel is actually not that big of a character.
Right.
And Chuba's character, it looks like, might actually be a character who is a mentor to her after she gets her powers, and then ends up turning on her, and he's a villain. He's actually one of her major villains. Which would make sense that, I mean, Ronan is obviously supposed to not be a bad guy yet.
Yes.
With the Kree Empire. But there are shots of like him and Ronan together. And obviously we know eventually Ronan's not a good guy.
Right.
So
they turn each other bad.
I think it should be true that he's...
You can't trust dudes. That's the moral of the
exactly,
story.
Exactly.
Never trust them. But yeah, it's nice to see, you know, she like... I love the shot when she punches the old lady.
Yes, I saw so many tweets and stuff that were like, another white lady calling the cops on a black man.
I'm assuming she can spot that this old lady has actually been replaced by, like, it's a Skrull.
Right.
It's a woman, I'm guessing.
But, yeah, I mean, if they do, you know, if the Skrulls play an important part in the Captain Marvel movie, then that does up the chances of your Skrull theory being somewhat true.
Well, that's my whole point, is that why set this movie in the 90s and introduce that the Skrulls have already infiltrated Earth if you're not then going to tell us that somebody was replaced?
Right.
It's just... It is a delicate balance, and I agree. Like Matt's point of he doesn't want it to be Cap because he's like, people are going to be pissed.
Right.
It's like, well, it is a delicate balance of when the person was replaced. I'm not saying I think it was like
Cap the whole time.
It wasn't Cap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying the time to replace him was between Civil War and Infinity War, because I don't think anyone's so married to
right
like Cap barely.
Yeah, he wasn't very important in the movie. I agree.
Yep.
And that would explain, there was like that long...
And I mean, you think that Cap fans would like this theory because that means that he's alive.
Yes. The other thing I was going to say is like, the other person that they feel like they'd be most likely to replace, and I hope they wouldn't, is Nick Fury, just because it's annoying. Like, Nick Fury going through all these, you know, he's dead, he's not dead, he's a Skrull, he's not a Skrull, so... But that's the one that I feel like they'd automatically be like, Nick Fury.
Question that I had for other uninitiated Captain Marvel people like me, which
okay,
is, you know, I've heard that she's like the most powerful, so what are her powers?
Yeah, that's funny, because I'm like, I don't know completely. I know that she can basically her, the energy absorption thing that she does, she can destroy an entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
She puts too much energy into it. Cool. Here, let's look it up. Captain Marvel powers. She is the most powerful.
Yeah, she has super strength. You know, just like straight, your basic super strength.
Superhuman strength, endurance, stamina, flight, physical durability, a limited precognitive sixth sense, and a perfectly amalgamated human Kree physiology that rendered her resistance to most toxins and poisons.
And what? How does she get to be so powerful and she's not even full Kree?
In the comics, she's not Kree at all. But basically, when Mar-Vell dies and infuses her with her power, and I haven't read them, so this is me going off information Matt's given me. I have the stack sitting in our living room waiting to read, but I'm so fucking busy right now, I don't have time. Anyway, he dies and he infuses her with his power, and basically it changes her, it like alters her DNA.
Okay.
And that's when she becomes part Kree. Because of the power that she gets from him.
So it's just that, like, an ultra power to, like, bequeath her?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I want her to punch Thanos in the face.
Yeah, like, basically, Thanos is fucked.
Although, ultimately, I do still want, like, Gamora, or at least Nebula, but especially Gamora, to be the one to take him down. I kind of still want that.
Yes.
Poetic justice.
Yes.
Well,
I mean,
in the comics, it is Nebula that does it. So, yes, Nebula needs... I think, like, she's going to basically even the playing field and give other people a chance to be able to actually stop him.
Yep. Well, I mean, you could have, like, a more, like, screw him over from his little, like, I don't know, Soul Stone, Gamora, or whatever the hell it is. Like,
well, see, I still think, like, I really thought that Gamora wasn't going to come back in Avengers 4, and that because Adam Warlock was known to be so important in Guardians 3, and in the comic book, Adam Warlock has lived in the Soul Stone, that he mm-hmm. was going to be integral. Like, Guardians 3 was basically going to be about getting Gamora back. And that he was going to be really important to that. But now I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Because that movie may not happen.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah. I'm sure if that could be one of the things they're changing, but I don't think I've seen anything about any of the Guardians being there for filming. So that doesn't mean they're not. But I haven't... I mean, they're still... Chris Hemsworth only just got there. So
right.
They still can show up. Up here, I'm reading. So she's super strong and durable. She can fly and hang out in the vacuum of space without dying. But she can also absorb any kind of energy and release it as concentrated blasts, usually from her hands, which is what you see her doing on top of the metro. And that's what can, if she doesn't control it, she can, well, or if she controls it and she wants to, she can destroy a planet.
So it's like the Uber version of what Shuri made the Black Panther suit could do. Sort of.
Yes.
Cool.
She's kind of a cross between, if you, like, her story is kind of the Marvel answer to Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also kind of got Superman powers.
Yeah. Yeah, she is kind of like crossing from Green Lantern and Superman.
Between Green Lantern
yeah,
and Superman.
I can see that. Now, I was just like going back to the Gamora point, basically. Like, yeah, I just feel like it's more emotionally satisfying if someone who didn't just show up is the one that ends Thanos. So I think that Captain Marvel should make it possible for Thanos to be ended, but it needs to be someone else who delivers the final blow, preferably Gamora, but, you know, it can be Captain or Tony before they die. But preferably Gamora or Nebula.
Well, yeah, no, I wouldn't mind if it was Gamora if in some way, but I think it needs to be Nebula. Because her story is, like, what he did to her was far worse.
Right.
Than even what he did. Not that he did great things to Gamora, but obviously it was far worse to her.
Well,
and
Gamora just needs to come back in the movie then, and Nebula can still do the final one.
They can work together.
Yes.
And be awesome sisters.
That's what I kind of wanted, like, you know, maybe Gamora doing it from the inside and Nebula doing it from without.
Okay, yeah.
Like, destroying Thanos' mind, like, she can destroy his mind, she can have a battle with him, like, psychologically, or whatever.
I like it.
And yeah.
Nebula can just, like, punch him, I don't know. So.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because, like, the idea is that everybody who died in the snap, or who was erased in the snap, whatever you want to call it, that they are actually living in the Soul Stone now. And there is the question of, do they even know that they're the ones who died? And so I wouldn't be surprised if there is actually, yeah, like, there is something where they're fighting from within all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, like, on a smaller scale, because I don't think you're going to see those characters that much, but that there is something that they're doing within. But I mean, Captain Marvel is obviously going to be a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think she makes it possible, but she won't be the one who delivers the killing blow. Or the whatever, crippling blow, whatever it
is. the universe restoring blow.
Yeah.
So do we have more that we want to say about the trailer before we want to wrap it up?
Well, it's funny, because when I was watching it, I had to look, because I was like, I don't remember the metro being that old, but yes, the LA, the first metro station opened in 1993. I was like, oh, okay, that does work. I was like, all right.
It was historically accurate.
Yes. I like somebody I saw said, you know, they like that Blockbuster can be used to make it appear in your piece now.
I'm so, like, Blockbuster really was the best thing about that trailer for me. Not really, but I was like, Blockbuster, memories.
I remember having to go.
Bring back Blockbuster. Prices.
Yeah. That was hilarious. Sam Jackson looks amazing.
Yep.
Not that he, like, I don't think he looks bad now, but they did a very good job. Although, but I think Clark Gregg is hilarious because, like, he just looks like Clark Gregg with more hair. Like, I don't really feel like much changed about Clark Gregg.
I mean, that's how I feel about Sam Jackson, too, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ageless.
Yeah. No, I agree. It totally is. But, you guys heard about the smile controversy, right? Not
yes.
The controversy. I actually really like that the first article I saw about it said fans, but it had the word fans in quotation marks. And we're, you know, putting a smile on Captain Marvel, and I was like, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that these people aren't really fans.
Right.
But it's funny because Matt showed me the pictures of Cap and Tony with smiles. I didn't realize that Brie Larson herself did that. Like, she actually went and was like, oh, wait, you think I should smile more? Here, let's make the guy smile more.
That's awesome.
Photoshopping it herself. That is my favorite, and she is the hero we need right now.
I love her.
Yeah, I'm so excited. But a little anecdote I want to tell. On Friday, I went to Universal Studios Hollywood, and I was walking through Hogsmeade, and these two little boys, they must have been like 8 maybe, ran past me, and I heard one of them say, oh my god, did you see? She's wearing a Captain Marvel backpack, because I was wearing my Loungefly Captain Marvel backpack, and he was so excited, and I was like, yay, even little boys are getting excited.
Aww, that's cute.
Like, it's I know, because for so long, well, I got that for my birthday, so I got it at the beginning of July. And ever since, I've mostly had people looking at it and thinking it was a Wonder Woman backpack. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. I was like, these little kids, and then they're the boys, and they're excited for her, too.
They know the truth.
Yeah. I loved the Her a Hero.
Yes, yes. The greatest wordplay.
Yes, that was really good. I was like, yay. Yeah, no, I like that. Corey, who's obviously been on the podcast before, he said it's one of the best trailers he's seen in a really long time, and I agree with him. I think it does a really good job. It's the first trailer, so it's not supposed to give you the entire story, but it does a really good job, I think, of introducing you to the story and to her enough to make you want more.
Yes. Plenty of people that weren't excited for it saw the trailer, that I spoke to, saw the trailer, and now they're excited.
I'm, like, twitching. I want to get in line right now. And, like, okay, so, like, theater on base will definitely be in English. And, like, some theaters are in English. But I'm, like, I want my ticket right now.
Yes. I'm cannot wait. It can't come soon enough. Did you guys see the poster for it, too?
Yes.
No.
Oh. It's a really... Marvel has a problem with their final posters. Like, the floating heads thing that they like to do, where it's just every single person who's in the movie that's really annoying, and usually they're not attractive at all. Like the Age of Ultron one, and I think the last Spider-Man one, were some of the worst posters.
The Spider-Man Homecoming one looked like it was just really bad fan art.
Yeah, like, those are terrible. They're almost as bad as the last two X-Men posters, and those are awful. And it's the same thing, where they just feel like they need to put everybody. But this teaser one is just her... in her final, her real Captain Marvel costume, standing in front of, or standing inside of an aircraft hangar, where the doors are open, and you can see above her, it's got her logo. But the funniest thing is, they're off to the side, and I didn't know what it was, because I haven't actually read the comics. I was like, why is there a cat's butt? And it turns out, because, like, literally, just off in the corner, there's a little cat's butt, like, walking out of screen, and you're like, wait, what is that? That you did that on purpose. Apparently, there's a character, I think it's called a Furkin, who looks like a cat, but it's an alien, and it's her pet, and and she calls it Chewbacca.
Oh my god. Wait.
I know, it's the best thing ever. I was like, oh my god, that's so cute.
How does she know who Star Wars is?
Well, she was here after. I mean, it must have been her subconscious.
Like, right. I mean, his, yeah, I know.
Like, if she doesn't have memories.
Yeah, the cat's name is Chewie, but she may get it, and it's a Flurkin. That's what kind of animal it is, a Flurkin.
Yeah.
So I really want the Captain Marvel movie, but I also really want the Captain Marvel movie now, kind of just to be about the cat.
Well, she should be.
They could do like the Thor special things with his roommate.
Yes.
Okay, we
should say that now. We insist that one of our post credit scenes be her and her cat.
Yes.
Yes.
We're gonna start that petition.
Exactly.
Yes. I was like, what? There's a cat? What? I don't care if it's not really a cat. It's close enough.
Mm.
Awesome. And it's obviously important enough they put it in the freaking poster.
Right. Because what's a girl without her cat?
Poster, and I'm going to frame and put it on my wall because it's beautiful.
Hmm.
And I just hope this movie is everything I want it to be because it looks so good and I'm so excited. And Wonder Woman who? That's how I felt. I was like, whatever, Wonder Woman. Hopefully this will be a better movie. Wonder Woman was okay. But hopefully this will be a better movie. It won't fall apart in the third act because Wonder Woman was great until that third act.
Right.
It became okay. Anyway, so yeah. I mean, the big thing that I'm really hoping is I don't think she has a love interest.
Right. And you hope it stays that way.
Like, and let's keep it that way. And like I said about the poster, I'm like, can we just not do a Floating Heads poster? Because can we admit that no one is going to see this movie as much as we love them? No one's going to see this movie for Lee Pace or Jude Law or Sam Jackson or Clark Gregg. Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
We want her. So, you know, because that was the one good thing that WB did was that for so long, all of the Wonder Woman posters were just about Wonder Woman.
Right.
And then they decided to put Chris Pine in one of them. And it was like, no, you lost the plot. So, yeah, hopefully I am right. And she doesn't have a love interest because we don't need that. And that'll be amazing. It will become the best movie ever made. Could it beat Winter Soldier for me?
Could it?
Since Black Panther came so close, I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
Possibly, because I'm so excited. Just, yay, women. Powerful women. Okay. Anyway, I think that's it, unless you guys have any other thoughts.
I got nothing.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for this Disney-centric pop a la carte. Now it's time to go record another podcast where we have information on other things.
About time.
Hopefully we won't have another week where Disney just put up this much information where you're like, no, what? Stop!
Anyway, right.
Not that I'm not excited about pretty much everything I just talked about. So, anyway. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. As always, find news, reviews, interviews, etc. on withanaccent.com. Follow us at With an Accent on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, etc. And With an Accent TV on YouTube, where we're going to have a lot of new interviews coming up in just a week because New York Comic Con. And follow the podcast at Pop a la Carte Pod on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye.